Today on Lasting Hope, Pastor Greg Spires.
The Bible is one continuous story of God's plan to save sinners. And we have to recognize that this experience of Mary and Elizabeth and John and Joseph is not happening in isolation. This is happening as a continuation of the story that's been told since the book of Genesis.
Welcome to Lasting Hope with Bible teacher Greg Spires, pastor of FBC in Medford, Oregon. The coming of the Christ child was prophesied of, announced by angels, and his location pinpointed by a star. Yet despite all the intensified attention, this wasn't even God's first and only occurrence to interact personally with man. Pastor Greg examines not only the joy that came with the birth of Christ, but the many other important implications for us to consider during the continuous occasions God chose to be with us. And I have Pastor Greg in the studio with me. And as we begin the Christmas season, we use words and phrases like Merry Christmas, Glad Tidings, Christmas Cheer, Joy, and Emmanuel. And I know today you're going to focus on that last word, Emmanuel, which means God with us.
Yeah, it's one of those greetings that we associate with Christmas time, and because of the season, we connect it so much with warmth and happiness and joy, and we think of being with family and being then also with God. And I think all of those things are good, and one of the great reasons to celebrate Christmas. But when we look at what the Bible tells us about God with us, the response is varied. Sometimes when God showed up, people were very frightened. Also, many times when God is with us, there's great warmth and joy. And I think what we really want to remember as we celebrate God with us at Christmas time is God with us is not Him merely joining what our lives are about. It's Him invading our lives and changing everything. And when God steps into our reality, in some ways it's exciting and happy and joyful, which is great, but in some ways it can be frightening because He intends to conform things to His image and His glory. And so it's a time of great celebration, but I think also thoughtful ways in which we can worship God by allowing Him to invade our reality.
Right. And it might surprise some people to know that when Jesus was born in Bethlehem on that first Christmas morning, that's not the first time He was with us here on earth, was it?
No, I mean, even Jesus alluded to it. He said, before Abraham and Isaac were, I am. And so while for us, in our experience, God with us became a reality in some ways at that first Christmas, Jesus has been making the plan all along to redeem humans to Himself through His sacrifice. And again, He's coming into our reality to bring the best thing we could possibly imagine, which is forgiveness and grace and relationship with Him. But we also have to remember He's God, and so He does it on His terms. This wasn't a plan put together spur of the moment. It wasn't plan B. This has always been the plan, and Jesus arrived right on time.
Well, let's get started with this message, again called God with Us. Here's Pastor Greg Spires.
Thanksgiving is over. I don't know if you noticed that. Anybody already threw all their leftovers? Yeah, we polished those off. The turkey's gone. Stuffing's gone. It's history. No turkey sandwiches this week. But for most kids anyway, now that Thanksgiving is over, the next thing is, when do we open presents? I mean, when is this happening? Can I start opening them now? And I was thinking about presents. What's the deal with presents? So say, for example, you have something in your head you want. You want a new power drill. You want a new drill. And you have the money to go buy the drill. You could go down to the hardware store. You could identify the drill. You could buy the drill, and you could take it home feeling a sense of satisfaction. I have purchased the drill that I wanted. However, put that on a Christmas list, and somebody else buys the drill and puts it in a box and wraps it up and puts it under a tree, you will spend a month just can't wait to open that drill. There's something different now that it's wrapped up in a box. You open it up, it's the same drill. In fact, if you are like most guys, you've got three of them already in your shop, but this one's new now, right? And there's something about opening the gifts. There's that on Christmas morning, or if you open them Christmas Eve, or I don't know when you do it, but there's something about opening it. There's the unknown. Is it the one? Is it not the one? I think there's also something about it that comes from the fact that somebody else thought to buy the thing. Even if you put it on a list and gave them the stock number and the shelf it was on and the aisle it was on, even still, they went and did it, and they packaged it up, and they or they ordered it online, or however they do it nowadays, right? But there's something, you open it up, and there's some excitement to it. So, and especially for kids, I mean, they get so excited. They're opening the presents, and there's this realization as you're opening the gifts, this frantic joy of what I've wanted is here. And there's a reason that we open gifts to celebrate Christmas, because a part of the reason behind that is to try and give ourselves, through a habit together, that sense of what it's supposed to be like when we recognize God is with us. It's that sense of that movement of joy, that sort of, where did that come from? Whammo, it's joy happens. And this is what we see coming from the scripture in Luke chapter 1, is a realization that through and in Jesus Christ, God with us, everyone who experiences this moment has that same kind of joy that you and I may only see once a year when Christmas presents are open. And really, to see it in its purest form, it's got to be a kid opening it. And once they hit a certain age, it doesn't even work anymore, does it? At a certain age, you can watch a kid opening their present, and they are experiencing what we see in Mary, and what we see in Elizabeth, and what we see in John, is this joy inexpressible. God is with us. So our first thing we want to think about is this: God with us brings joy. God with us brings joy. So Mary is a woman. She's unmarried. An angel, Gabriel, pretty important angel, pretty kind of a head honcho kind of guy, shows up and says, you will have a child, and you are to give his name Jesus. The Holy Spirit will make you pregnant. You will have God dwelling in you as a child in your womb. And Mary sort of doesn't understand how this is possible. Normally you have to get married, and then you have to come together physically, and then a person becomes pregnant. But in this case, God is saying no. God himself will have the child in you, and it will be God who will form in you. You will have Christ, Jesus, and he will be God with us. And Mary is not understanding how this is going to work. The angel even points out, look at your relative Elizabeth. She's old as dirt. Well, I don't think Gabriel said that, but I mean, we all know what he meant. He said, look, she is well beyond age of childbearing, and she is with child. God can do this. Now, Elizabeth's child is not the same as the child that Mary would carry. Elizabeth's child was the result of her marriage to her husband. And John would be born, the forerunner of Christ, the one who would prepare the way for Jesus. And so Mary believes what's going to happen, and she is filled with joy. Look what happens when Mary visits Elizabeth. This is down in verse 39 of Luke chapter 1. In those days, Mary arose, and she went with haste to the hill country, to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. So Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, and John in her womb leaped. I've never been pregnant. I don't know what it would be like to have a baby leap in me. Now, some of you may know what that's like. I know babies jostle around a bit. But this is something wholly different. This wasn't the normal routine baby stretching out a little bit. This was a leap of joy, and she identified it as such. And she even told Mary this: blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. So she was giving testimony to Mary. What is going on in you? God with us is so amazing that unborn babies are partying. This is a big deal. This is God with us brings great joy, brings unexpected joy, brings an experience of the favor of God. Elizabeth and John are rejoicing because God is near. Elizabeth and Mary are rejoicing because God is close by. He is nearby. He is, as the Bible describes, with us. Now, we have to understand that the book of Luke is not happening in isolation. The Bible is not several different stories cobbled together in order to give us a lot of sort of fables that are to teach us a lesson. The Bible is one continuous story of God's plan to save sinners. And we have to recognize that this experience of Mary and Elizabeth and John, and as we get to in a few minutes, even Joseph, is not happening in isolation. This is happening as a continuation of the story that's been told since the book of Genesis. And this is a continuation of God's plan to redeem sinners. Why does this matter? Because we might falsely think that Mary and Elizabeth were just excited the way two young women would be excited who are pregnant together. They can't wait for their babies to be born. We're going to have play dates. We're going to go to the park, and we're going to go to the water pad, and these boys are going to grow up, and they're going to wrestle, and they're going to learn to hunt, and they're going to get into fights, and they're going to fight over girls, and you know, the normal things that, boys do, right? This is not what's happening. Certainly, they were excited the way any new mother would be excited, but that is the smallest, most insignificant portion of the joy that they are experiencing. This joy is coming from the fact that God himself is with us in a way that hasn't been experienced before. So what I grabbed three examples from the Old Testament of God with us, and I want to show you how different this is. Now, we could have grabbed dozens and dozens of places where we see God in the Old Testament. I just grabbed three in particular, mostly just because I love these accounts. Exodus chapter 19, Mount Sinai. Exodus chapter 19, verse 16, a description of God descending onto Mount Sinai. People of Israel are gathered around the mountain, and Moses is about ready to take himself a hike up onto Mount Sinai. I want to read this description of God with us. On the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast, so that all the people in the camp trembled. Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God. That's very ominous. And they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Now, verse 18, Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. The smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. What's a kiln? That's where you do your setting of your ceramics, and they would build these fires and have bellows that they would pump to get the air going. And so smoke and fire would be churning out of them. The best way to think of this for those of us in the Pacific Northwest are those fantastic videos of Mount St. Helens going off in 1980. You remember that? So remember that just plume of ash churning out of Mount St. Helens. You can't remember. Google it while you're sitting here so you can get a picture of it, right? This is the description of Mount Sinai here. Just smoke like a furnace and fire, and the whole thing is trembling like an earthquake. And Moses says, hey, let's go see God. And the people are like, are you sure? Are you sure this is a good idea? It looks like the mountain is going to explode. Verse 19, and the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. Imagine a volcano going off and the trumpet is loud enough to hear. This is a loud trumpet. Moses spoke and God answered him from the thunder. The Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. That would be scary. So this is God with us. God coming down to the mountain in fire and power and glory and majesty, because he needed the people of Israel to recognize God, who is leading them out of Egypt to the promised land, is a God of holiness, righteousness, and power. This God is not to be messed around with. This is a God worthy of our respect and even our fear. Let's turn over to Exodus chapter 40. Another example in the people of Israel of God with us. Exodus chapter 40, beginning in verse 34. And this is what happened. This is after they have put together the tabernacle. So a description of God with his people in the tabernacle. If you remember, when the people of Israel left Exodus, during the day, God would lead them by a pillar of what? Fires at night, cloud by day, fire at night. So there's a pillar of cloud by day and fire at night. And so this pillar, after they built a tabernacle, it would lead them out. And when it stopped, the cloud would descend on the tabernacle. Look at verse 34 of Exodus 40. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the people of Israel would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out until the day it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and the fire was in it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. So now we have another picture of the presence of God with his people. But now where is the presence of God located? In the tabernacle. So if you wanted to go see the presence of God, you would just go into the tabernacle, right? Absolutely not. You would only go into the tabernacle, especially into the inner place of the tabernacle, if you were the high priest, and if you were the high priest on the appropriate day, and if you were on the high priest on the appropriate day, having offered the appropriate offerings. So we have the power and glory of God, and now we have the power and glory of God's presence, but now a physical separation. The people could see the glory of God, the people could see the power of God, but there's a physical separation intended to communicate there's something between us. There's something between us that has to be navigated. And so God is with us, but we still get a sense, well, this isn't the way it's supposed to be. Okay, one last place, 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 through 13. Elijah had gone on a hike, happened to be a 40-day hike, and he found himself on a mountain. My guess would be it would be Mount Sinai, but we don't know for sure. And God is going to show himself to Elijah. This is 1 Kings 19, beginning in verse 11. And he said, "Go out and stand in the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountain and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord." But the Lord was not in the wind. "And after the wind, an earthquake." But the Lord was not in the earthquake. "And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and he went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there a voice came to him and said, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?'" So here we have the power of God on display, but God's presence was revealed in this low whisper. So God had the power to bring the earthquake and the wind that could break rocks. That's a pretty powerful wind. And he could bring the great fire, but God's presence was revealed in this low whisper. And so you have all these things occurring throughout the Old Testament communicating to us, sin has interrupted the relationship we have with God, and we fail to recognize he is God. He is glorious, and he is mighty, and he is powerful. And for all of our yearnings maybe to want God with us, well, we see in the Old Testament, when God shows up, he sort of freaks people out. And these are just three examples of many where when God showed up, people said, "Wow." And at each of these occasions, we discover a very important thing, and it's this. God is with us, but immediately we recognize there's something between us. We can't relate to someone so glorious. We can't relate to him because there's a physical barrier. We can't relate to him because there's a relational brokenness. And it's in the midst of this story that Gabriel shows up to Mary and says, "God's going to be in your womb." Do you see how all of a sudden it's, oh, God is with us. God is going to be in our presence in a way we have never experienced before. And this is where the joy is coming from. This is no longer do we stand on the mountain and worry about whether or not we're going to wet ourselves in fear. No longer do we wonder if God is going to strike dead the priest because he didn't offer the appropriate offering. All of a sudden, God himself comes as a man and will be born among men, and he will dwell with us. No more curtain, no more smoke and thunder. It's Jesus, God as man, to save us from our sins, to deal with the barrier that exists between us and God. Go back to Luke chapter 1, And we're going to look at Mary's song, often referred to as the Magnificat, in Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 46. Mary said this, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown great strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his offspring forever." So the song here from Mary is worship of God that says God is with us, and God is with us in a unique way, and he's with us in this way. He reverses our fortunes. With God not with us, we are left on our own, lost in our deadness, lost in our humble estate, lost in our being destitute without God. And when God comes in and he is with us, he reverses everything. He now takes the humble and the lowly and the lost and the guilty and the shamed, and he lifts them up to the place of those who hang out with God. Those who have no need for God, as the Bible describes here, who were rich in their own ways, not in God, but rich on their own, who have no need for God. Again, the fortunes are reversed. They get exactly what they want. Not God with us, but on your own. And now they find themselves in the humble estate. And so God shows up at the culmination of history and brings great joy because God reverses everything by joining us as a man. We become lifted up, not in our own regard, but lifted up in him because he saves us from our sins. God is with us as changes everything. God with us brings great joy. Now, there is great joy in Jesus coming, but we need to look at another angle of this. And we're going to look at Joseph over in Matthew chapter 1. God with us brings joy, but we also need to recognize this and pay attention to it because it's critically important. God with us also changes everything. So God with us brings joy, but it means if God is with us, nothing else will ever be the same again, and everything changes. And the question every single person has to answer in their own heart, are you okay with that? Because God with us brings us joy, but God with us changes everything. Are you okay with everything changing? Anybody like taking pictures on their iPhone or on your Samsung or whatever device you have? Everybody loves taking pictures on their iPhones. We now take pictures of things we never thought we would take pictures of before. If you have a camera with film in it, you arrived here in a time machine probably, you would never take a picture of your meal because your roll of film only has 24 exposures. Or maybe if you bought the big one, maybe it has 36 exposures on it, right? And you're not going to take a picture of your meal, but since you have a phone with 250 terabytes of data, you can take 100 pictures of your meal. And we would never have imagined this. We love taking pictures with our phone. We love taking pictures of where we've been and the people we're with. There's nothing wrong with this. Who hated this the most? Kodak. Kodak was behind the times. Some of you may be not old enough to remember this phrase. Kodak in their advertising had this catchphrase. It was a Kodak moment. Meaning, a moment had to be good enough to actually use your film. Now, with your phone nowadays, every moment's a take-a-picture moment. You know? Look, I opened the door, I'm headed to work. Hashtag employed. You know, I don't know how you do that. But back then, you had to have a Kodak moment. Hey, let's take a picture. No, it's not quite special enough yet. I mean, it would use a whole exposure. And then you got to take it and get it developed and... oh, there's all kinds of hassle. So what happened to Kodak? Something good happened for us. We get to take countless pictures of everything. We have thousands and thousands of pictures. But it wasn't great for Kodak because everything changed. Everything changed. And the similar thing we have to be confronted with Christ. Jesus shows up. God is with us. Great. You need to pay attention. Everything's going to change. Your old life, just like Kodak film, is now obsolete. We need to realize God is with us. Are you willing to recognize your old life is obsolete? And now there's a new life coming. It's a life of great joy. It's a life of God with us, but it's not your old life. And we need to be aware of that. God with us rearranges our life, and we are confronted with the reality, as we're going to see in Joseph. We need to understand, are we okay with our life being rearranged by God with us?
Pastor Greg Spires with an important look at the nativity scene and the impact of God's gift of his son Jesus coming to earth as a baby that we celebrate this season. And you're listening to Lasting Hope, the radio ministry of FBC in Medford, Oregon. And if you're in the Southern Oregon area, Pastor Greg would like to invite you to attend our in-person church services at FBC in Medford. You can join us for worship and a message from Pastor Greg at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday, and we'd love to meet you in person. Just go to lastinghope.org for information and driving directions. Again, lastinghope.org. Well, that's all the time we have for today, but please join us next time as we continue this message of Christmas called God with Us. That's next time on Lasting Hope with Pastor Greg Spires. Lasting Hope is the radio ministry of FBC in Medford, Oregon.